I don't know about you, but I greatly appreciate our music team as they lead us. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I don't know, for me, it's a great part to kind of be on a journey that kind of walks me through and encourages me to engage and meet with my Lord as I sing and as I lift my voice. And I really appreciate it. As I think through just a number of key things, I appreciate it we're dealing with communication today, so I gotta get it right out. Did you love the breakdown of communication? Did you love that? So Rich had told me a while ago, and out of my head, and I'm like, I kind of looked at Greg, and I thought I was seeing one thing. Now we're going to talk about this kind of body language is one means of communication, but body language is not always easy to read, is it? Sometimes, do you ever get body language wrong? Well, I think I was, was I getting it wrong? Okay, all right. So I was thinking, like, he's going like, "Where's Rich?" And I'm like, "Where's Rich? I don't see Rich. He's not walking up. Does he come back? Did he disappear?" But I wasn't looking well at the screen. Breakdown in communication. But then good communication in music. Right? As we sing and lift our voices, I really loved, as he talked about, trading my sorrows. Are you carrying stuff that we need to kind of put on the back burner? That we just kind of got to let go? You know, sometimes in life it's really necessary to do that. To take burdens and things that we carry and set them aside. And say, you know, I'm not going to pick that up again. I'm not going to run with that again. I need to let that stuff go. But we get to do that in our friendship with God, and better's one day in the house of the Lord than bazillions elsewhere. Not just 10,000 or thousands. So I hope you enjoyed the journey. I really enjoyed the journey. So thanks. Well, we're going to have some fun on the whole conversation of communication. And we're going to be starting a series, Can You Hear Me Now? And we all know where the whole thing of Can You Hear Me Now started, right? You all think it started with Verizon, don't you? Verizon got it because overwhelmingly so often people would be on the phone trying to have a conversation and they are in a bad cell spot. And so they would be trying to have this conversation, so before Verizon ever used it to put it on an advertisement, it escaped the lips of thousands upon thousands of people who were trying to have a conversation, and they were going like, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I can hear you now." You move around, you try to find the right spot to talk, you hold your phone around to make sure you have at least two, maybe three bars, and then finally, I can have a conversation. That's where it started. And then Andy did great to me. He says, "You know the guy who did that commercial, Can You Hear Me Now? Now he's talking for someone else. Now he's shilling for Sprint." Right? The whole joy of communication. And there's a whole communication process that's going on with this guy now since he's shifted networks. And it's a nonverbal communication. He's telling you, guys, just by his being with Sprint to advertise with Sprint, Sprint is much better than Verizon. I wonder if he's going to go to AT&T next. You don't know what he's going to do, okay? But all of this communication stuff is nonverbal, all these kinds of communication things. Communication is huge. It is huge, 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 huge. And I would say in so many ways that life is driven by communication. I guess there's many things that can drive life, but communication is one of those things that just totally, totally drives life. Now, for your benefit this morning, I put all of my notes that I'm going to talk about in the bulletin for you guys for you to look at today, because I want you guys to get this and not miss it and not miss pieces. I think this stuff is really important. Also want to say that these are resources that I have used for a really long time. So I have been using some, these are not all original with me, but these are resources that I've had a chance to pick up over the years. It's in particular stuff that I've used in premarital counseling. And we're going to walk through a number of these things, and I have more than I could fill the next 5 or 6 weeks with, but we're going to drill down to some of those things, and And hopefully it'll be incredibly helpful to you, because I think learning to communicate and communicate well is vital. It will be, I think, massively helpful for you if you can work to communicate well. So how do we communicate? That's the first thing I want us to talk about. And I just put down a number of things here. We're going to start jumping into the scripture in the second half. But these are things we recognize, and these are things we thoroughly understand. But I'm just going to put them out there. First of all, we communicate visually, don't we? And as I put here, we can communicate with a smile. You see someone walking to you and they smile. All of a sudden, you have a different internal reaction, don't you? You see someone walking to you, smile and kind of lifting their hand. Oh, they want to say hello. They're trying to be friendly. You have someone walking to you, and they start to lift their hand. You start maybe to lift yours. Okay, all that is that visual communication stuff going on. As you look at notes here, you're going to see a frown or angry eyebrows. Angry eyebrows. Now, Daniel, when he was a kid, was phenomenal at the angry eyebrows. We would regularly say to our kids, as we are having in the midst of the conversation, we said, get rid of the angry eyebrows. Get rid of the angry eyebrows. I'm not going to talk until we get rid of the angry. And then we'd have to wait till the physical angry eyebrows would disappear. It's that visual communication. No words are being said, but lots is being said. It's just that visual communication that takes place. A wave, a fold. You want to have a conversation with someone? You know that's going to be really productive. You are ready to talk. No, you know this is going to be a tough one. Again, that physical communication, that visual communication. Again, as I said here, how you are groomed, how you're dressed. We communicate with our eyes. Do you ever point? Do that kind of stuff? Or you're joking around with somebody? And you're kind of playing it straight, but there's someone else in the room, and you go, but you know, you wait till they're not looking, you kind of wink, so you can get them in on what's going on. We communicate in these ways. This is part of how we communicate. Physically, we communicate. We do it on a regular basis. Shake hands, give me knuckles, okay? You give a kiss, you can have a hug. That physical communication, it communicates stuff. So if someone comes in with a blotchy eye, right? We would call it a black eye. Was there communication taking place? Yes, we all know about that communication. It was physical communication. Okay. All that stuff. And again, this whole issue, the term of body language. Anyone ever come to you and talk to you about change your body language? Has anyone ever said that to you? Change your body language. Because we communicate with our body. Even as I wave my arms, we communicate. How about verbally? Words communicate lots of stuff. We can have people who talk. And all sorts of information comes out. And so we communicate with lots of words. And we take time to properly communicate. We parse, we phrase. But wrapped up in that is also tone, isn't it? Tone totally shapes the words we say. Let me give you an example. Hello? It's kind of what I say when I'm going to answer the phone. Hello? Or I can go, hello. Same word. Totally different tone. Or hello? Same word. But it totally communicates something else. See, tone of voice and how we say it really says a lot. I love it. Now, again, this often happens in our home, but I love it when this takes place and you're having a conversation. I didn't say that! And you're going, oh, yes, you did. Because they're saying one thing with their words, but they're saying totally something else with their tone of voice and their body language. And they come back and say, I wasn't saying that. Oh, but yes, you were saying that. And this is then when we start to play those games of being truthful or not truthful. The not truthful is called lying, by the way. So when we're not always honest about the things that we're communicating. But it's huge. It's significant. It's massive. How we communicate. And all this stuff is going on. What's also, I think, sometimes profoundly important is not just what is said, but have you found it meaningful sometimes to parse what is not said? Sometimes what is not said is just as loud and is just as significant as the things that are said. Because it's just like sitting there in a conversation. Things that we know should be said, but aren't conveyed. Now, historically, people have communicated with notes and letters. We don't do that as much anymore. I heard post office is going to raise its forever stamps another 5 cents. Happening sometime this month, if you want to save that 5 cents sometime in the next couple of years, go buy a bunch now. But overwhelmingly today, how do we communicate? We communicate on Facebook. We communicate with email. We communicate with text messages. Joan, one of the things that Joan loves, emojis. We communicate with emojis. Now, they're kind of fun. They were so good, they made a movie out of it. But we communicate with emojis because they just give not just a word, but a feeling, an expression. We communicate with gifts, flowers or candy or something like that. So when someone walks home with a box of flowers or a bouquet of roses or maybe a new tool, after a difficult evening the night before, there's communication going on, isn't there? It's just communication. It's one of the ways we sometimes communicate. We also communicate with how we listen, don't we? So someone is talking to us and we're doing this or watching that stationary thing that moves as we look at it. Or we are reading a paper. We're just doing all sorts of other things and someone is talking to us and they say, are you listening? Oh, yeah, I'm listening. We're communicating, aren't we? We're communicating a lot by how well or how poorly we give attention, by whether or not we have eye contact or if we're looking at something else. Don't you love it when you're having kind of a serious conversation, maybe a bearing down conversation, and the person you're talking to is not doing this, but they're doing... But they won't look at you in the eyes? It communicates. It's rather loud in that process. See, the reality is just about everything you do as you interact with other people, it communicates. So as we talk about communication, we're not just going to be talking about words. We're not just going to be talking about those things that come out of our mouths. The whole issue of communication is an all-encompassing piece. And it matters. It matters a lot. Now, there are different levels of communication. I just want to touch on this as well, because I think, again, this is also an important detail. We have cliche, don't we? I used to work with a guy, and he had this saying, and to a large part, as I first heard it and as I listened to it, I hated it. Because I heard it with one filter, and I didn't like what it said. But he would regularly say, it is what it is. Okay? Over the years, I have adopted it more, which is sad in some ways. But it's also at times just a really true statement. It is what it is. And something is going on, and you would like to change it. You would like to have the authority and the power to change it, but the circumstances are totally beyond your control. And as you look at those circumstances, you say to people, it is what it is. But that's cliche. It's just cliche. It communicates some things. It communicates a truth. It communicates an attitude. It communicates an opinion, but it's cliche level. And if you are having a conversation with something and everything that is communicated is cliche, it's going to get annoying pretty quick. How about casual conversation? This is kind of like in line at the McDonald's or Burger King or going to the bank or just casual conversation. So it would be kind of like the conversation goes, are you happy? You know, you're standing there. You're just kind of killing time. You're waiting for something else to happen. And you turn to the person next to you and you say, are you really glad or not that all of this rain isn't snow? Oh, yeah. You know, and you might have a really quick little conversation about how glad we are that it's been warm enough that we've had all this rain and how glad we are that it hasn't been cold enough to make it a foot or two or three of snow. It's casual. There's nothing substantive or really deep to it. It's a little conversation that's going to happen. It's a little conversation that's going to take place, and then it's going to disappear as you go on. And you might have that same kind of conversation. It's just kind of floaty, casual conversation. And then you have kind of information or facts. You all have done this too, I'm sure. Hey, I'm looking for so-and-so. Can you tell me how to get there? Okay, you go down to the light, you turn light, turn right. You go to the second traffic intersection, and you turn left, and the place you're looking for is going to be the third building up and to right. It's just giving information. Now, here's what I want you to notice here. This level of communication, these first three, cliche, casual, and sharing, this is conversation we have with just about everybody. The next three change a little bit. You might have it with just about everybody, but mostly you have it now with people that are more connected to your life. So you might have conversation that's supporting or encouraging or motivating of people. You know, I've been really wrestling with I've been smoking, and I know it's bad. You'll see some of these really good commercials on TV that talk about how bad it is to smoke. Okay, I was just talking to Joan about this the other day. I said, some of these commercials are just really, really good. And they're effective, I think. And so you have a conversation with someone who's looking to quit, and you say, I really want to encourage you to do that. And you can encourage them and support them, and you might connect with them. You might see them a little bit later. And you don't have a deep relationship with you, but they have confided in you, I really would like to quit smoking. And you might see them a week later, 2 weeks later. Maybe there's a person that you run into often at Wawa or Starbucks or whatever it is, and you say, hey, you mentioned the other day that you were doing this, and how you doing? It's not an uncommon thing for me to say to a waitress, can I pray for you? And if I go back to the restaurant, I happen to have that same waitress, if she shared or he shared something with me that they want me to pray about, it would not be uncommon for me to say, hey, I've been praying about X, Y, or Z. How's it going? But that level of communication that's encouraging and supporting and encouraging them to take a different step. Planning and decision making. We do this in particular as we work at our jobs. This is the kind of relationship we start to have with our colleagues as we look at things, as we map things out, as we plan things, as we strategize at different times with different things. Who's going to take this? Who's going to take that? Or as a boss gives direction. This is something that often takes place with people that are a little bit closer to the insides of our life. And sometimes we have disagreements and a controversial, and we'll talk about a controversial issue. What's interesting to me on this issue is how talk radio is fake to a real degree on intimacy in this regard. Because people will listen to an individual and they feel like they have a relationship, but it's a one-sided relationship. They don't have a clue who you are. Not right or wrong, it just is. And so you have this casual conversation, but you talk about stuff and you might even argue and debate. But as you come into more intimate relationships, you start to have debate at different times. And so these three are kind of like that middle road relationship. These are people you know a little bit more, a little bit better. These are people you have ongoing relationship with. But these other two, these last two, really boil down to more intimate conversations or more intimate relationships. It's correcting. It's instructing, it's rebuking, it's challenging. This is the sharpening side of a relationship. The sharing of opinions, ideas, feelings, emotions, and judgments. See, these are the things we get into, and these are those places where these are the things we guard a whole lot more. We're not always willing to just kind of take all of our emotions, all of our feelings, and just kind of lay them all out there. But we start to select and identify a smaller selection of people that we start to let on the inside of our lives. Here's one of the things I want you to recognize. There are primarily three levels of relationship being described through these levels of communication, the casual, the closer, and then the intimate. But if you're in an intimate relationship, people that are close to you, all of these levels of communication should be taking place. And if the simpler levels of communication start to disappear, it's usually an indication that there's a problem in your relationships. So if you have a really close friend, a really intimate friend, and you don't just chit-chat at times, you don't just talk about the weather, you don't just talk about sports, you don't just chit-chat, it's usually an indication that something deeper is going on that needs to be addressed. It was very interesting. Joan had a boss, and it was... I guess we were married 5-6 years at this point. And Joan's always been my dental hygienist. I never had a dental hygienist until I married Joan and found out I needed to have a dental hygienist. So it's kind of been good in life. I've had my personal hygienist I can bring with me wherever I go. And so she was working for this particular doctor, and I was there to see her, and I would usually come at the end of the day. And I would sit in the chair as she would clean up stuff and put stuff away, and she would check my teeth and clean my teeth. But in the midst of all that, we would just chit-chat. We'd talk about the day. And, you know, now I had to learn how to do that because we've talked about this before. I would come home from school or come home from work. I was going to school, seminary. But John would say to me, "How was your day?" "Good." "How was your day?" And she'd press play. And about 20 minutes later, she'd finished telling me about her day, and I'm like, whoa. And one of the things I discovered is that Joan would like to have a rundown of my entire day. So, who did I talk to? What did I do? What did I see? What was I thinking? How did they react? What were they wearing? And I realized that she's like, "I can't believe you're doing this to me." No, this is just the fun of being married and figuring it out and walking this journey, and I figured out and this was just part of life, and it's that general chit-chat as we would kind of sit home, and I'd sit in the kitchen, and she would be doing stuff, or I'd be doing stuff, and we'd just chit-chat. And that would take place periodically as I sat in her chair at her dental office. And her doctor one day made a really interesting observation, an observation that was telling, because he divorced his wife eventually. They got divorced. But he was there listening to us just interact. And we weren't trying to plan anything or strategize. We were just sitting there talking. He goes, you know, it's like you guys really like each other. Well, yeah. And we're just chit-chatting. Because good relationships have all levels of this communication process. It's when those levels start to disappear and you only deal with that weighty, heavy stuff, the confrontational stuff, the corrective stuff. That's when you start to recognize that there's really problems going on here. We need to get something addressed. Bad things happen when people don't communicate effectively. Let me walk through some of these things. In particular, I want to walk through some scripture as we look at this. So first of all, when people don't communicate effectively, unresolved issues remain unclarified. Issues remain unclarified. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. Verse 18. The first to speak in court sounds right until the cross-examination begins. Issues remain unresolved. It's like a one-sided conversation. But it's when people start to talk that the different sides of the perspective, the different sides of the opinion begin to start being taken out and laid on a table and looked at and actually having a conversation about. So when we don't communicate well, when we start to fail to communicate, we start to avoid communication, we don't resolve issues. And the problem with unresolved issues is that they start to fester. As I've shared with people in the past, I don't have a bag with me, but it's kind of like taking stuff and stuffing it into a bag. And then taking stuff, stuffing it into the bag. And taking issues and things that have happened, and we take it, stuff it into the bag. Here's the problem with unresolved issues. Those unresolved issues start to break down and stink and rot. And there's an agitation of life that starts to happen because there's this unresolved stuff and this kind of is going on inside. But so much time has gone by and so much stuff has been stuffed in there, and we've started to forget about all the details, and more stuff has been stuffed on top of it, that we start to pull sometimes things out to deal with them, and it's started to break down. We don't remember all the details, but we remember that we had a conversation with them and they really ticked us off. But I don't remember all the details, but I know they ticked me off. So instead of being able to go back and kind of resolve that, we still stay kind of ticked off because we don't have all the pieces to talk about and resolve it, but we're still kind of ticked off. When bad communication happens, issues remain unclarified, unresolved. Wrong ideas are not corrected or are uncorrected. Look at verse 2 of chapter 18. Trying to find it. I'm bouncing around here. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Fools have no interest and understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. See, a fool doesn't want someone to tell them that they're wrong. A fool doesn't want someone to come alongside him and say, you know, I understand how you're thinking, but you should modify your thinking. There's some things that you should change in your thinking. And if you were to maybe look at this from a different perspective or think about this in a different way, it would transform how you're approaching this. But a fool is not interested in understanding. They only want to air their opinion. And so wrong ideas remain uncorrected. Wrong thought processes go unchallenged. Confusion and disorder occur. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about proper decorum in a worship service and how they should conduct themselves when they get together, because chaos has been going on. And he says to them, listen, God is not a God of disorder. When chaos reigns, it's not because God's presence is there. Chaos exists because people aren't following the direction and order that God has provided. That's the problem with sin in a fallen world. God, when God created, it was good. 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 It all worked. It functioned well. It worked well. It was good. And then sin introduced corruption and chaos. When we don't have good communication, confusion and disorder begins to take place. Conflicts and misunderstandings remain unresolved. Matthew 5. Now in our life groups this week, we're going to look at this a little bit more. But Matthew 5. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Issues should be resolved, and God wants issues to be resolved. Enough so that as Jesus is talking about that, he's saying, listen, if you're saying you're going to come and worship me and your objective is to come lift up your hands, to lift up your voice, to lift up your heart and to declare my greatness and my goodness, and yet you have conflict with someone else, you know it and you don't want to resolve that, I would rather you not come, and I would rather you go and pursue reconciliation and then come worship when reconciliation is pursued, instead of pretending that everything is fine. Because I don't want you pretending in my presence. I want you truly and freely worshiping in my presence. But when bad communication takes place, conflict and misunderstanding remains unresolved. How often have you come to church and you have watched people do the avoidance dance? It People that you know should be interacting. But one chooses to sit on one side and the other chooses to sit on the other side. It's amazing to watch how this nonverbal choreography of relationship takes place as they kind of do this dance around each other. We see it at work. We see it in other places. Don't you love it at work when you have two workmates who are feuding with each other? Doesn't it create a wonderfully harmonious and joyous work experience? And then they come to you when you were talking to the other person. What were you talking about? Were they talking about me? What did they say? And they grab you and they try to stick you right in the middle of them. It's glorious. I don't know, but do you ever wake up every morning saying, I can't wait to get into the middle of them? Poor communication leads to unresolved conflict and misunderstandings. Can I tell you something? Our world is filled with conflict and misunderstandings. It's filled with it. My hunch, already this morning, you've had to navigate a couple. Now, we do it out of routine. But my hunch is you've already had to navigate some disagreement, some misunderstanding, some form of conflict already. Who takes the car? Who gets in the shower first? Oh, who forgot to do the laundry and I need this shirt or I need underwear? Come on! You know, this is where it all happens. It's all that kind of simple stuff. Wise decisions are thwarted. Man, oh man, oh man. Don't you wish our government would learn to actually do biblical communication with one another? Amen. Oh. Amazing. We make boatloads of stupid, foolish decisions because we don't communicate well. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Just dumb. It's like having something wrong with your car. Bring it to the mechanic shop, and you tell the mechanic, this is what I want you to do. Boom, 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 boom. Says, you want me to do a diagnostic? Nope. No, you're going to say, don't listen. I'm hearing this, I'm hearing this, I'm experiencing this. Can you look it over and tell me what you find? You want them to diagnose it. Why? Because you don't want to spend more money than you need to, but you also want your car to run. So often in communication relationships, don't complicate this conversation with the facts. I know how I feel. I already know what I think. The facts are extraneous, unnecessary, because I've already made up my mind. Wise decision making is thwarted. We leave damaged relationships in our wake. Proverbs 18:14. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? If we don't do communication well, if we are not intentional at trying to do communication well, there's going to be more crushed spirits in our wake than we'd like to acknowledge. We miss out on the joy of a shared journey with others. Amos 3:3. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? The implication is no, they can't. Few of us want to walk our journey alone and isolated. We enjoy walking our journey with others. But if we're going to effectively walk our journey with others, we need to be in agreement with them and them with us. You know, the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. And people define that really narrowly. I remember when I was dating a gal before I met Joan. She was a Christian gal. Dated her for about a year and a half, and I was seriously walking through the mental process of deciding, should I or shouldn't I ask her to marry me? And then I started to think about some of our life values, some of our life priorities. And while she was a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, we had some very different life goals. Some very different life priorities. And I realized that if I asked her to marry me and if we got married, it would be tough for us in some parts of our journey. It would be tough for me to pursue what I knew God was calling me to pursue because we weren't fully on the same page. See, being in agreement and working through those things, that's really important. If we want to walk our journey and live our journey with others, we need to be on the same page and we need to work that through and sift that through. And that gets refined and sharpened through communication. In honest communication. Now, wrapped up in all of this are other things that are here. And I'll just kind of walk through these, but these are here and I put them down for you to see. Interpersonal problems pile up and barriers become higher and wider. You can walk through Scripture and see examples of that taking place. Boredom, frustration, and discontent begins to separate relationships. Why? Because poor communication is taking place. We're not taking the time to communicate. We're not taking the time to listen. We're not taking the time to interact. And as we fail to do that, separation of relationship begins to happen. We don't really get to know each other or new people. Midwest was really interesting for me. We moved into this little small town in Minnesota where a lot of people knew each other for a really long time. And what was interesting is that a goodly number of people were really content with the relationships that they had, and they didn't need to add anyone else. I think of kind of like Lego pieces. Some people were 2 Lego piece people, some people were 6 Lego piece people, some were 24 Lego piece people. But it seemed like in Minnesota, most of them were 2 or 6 Lego piece people. My relationship pieces are filled. I'm good. Talk to someone else. Try to build a relationship with someone else. And if we are not willing to have communications, we're going to have difficulty building relationships with people. What happens with bad communication when we have relationships where there's intimacy and that intimacy starts to die because communication starts to fail? People start looking for intimacy in new relationships. We don't help each other anymore when communication starts to fail. We start to ignore others. Now, we talk about this. We start to walk through these things. What is it I would like you to do? Now, this is not on your notes, but I have it here. What do I want you to do? Number one, I want you to come back. Because we're going to be delving into this and diving into this over the next 5 or 6 weeks. And I think it'll be really helpful to you. If we can learn to communicate well, if we can learn to interact well, God will bless you and he will bless us in some phenomenal ways. But learning to communicate and learning to interact well is huge. Huge. I would want you to begin to ask the question, what do I need to apply? Where are some of the areas where I need to change? Where are some of the areas that I need to modify my life? And I'd also challenge you to ask the question, where is it that I can make a difference? Where can I make a difference? I think if we could figure out communication, it would transform your life. If you could really figure it out, it'll transform your life. I'm going to ask the guys to come up. We're going to partake of communion. And as we walk through this, I want to encourage you to take some time to have a conversation with God.